of a panel rather than a sermon, and this is a really exciting story these guys are going to share. Come grab your seat, your stool down. Hopefully no one falls off today. Sarah was a bit anxious that she might fall off her stool, so let's pray that the angels will catch her and look after her. It's been about 9 or 10 weeks now that we've been talking about reaching, talking about evangelism, talking about sharing faith. And who's been impacted by the series, the Ripple Effect course, the last few weeks? It's great. It's been really, really powerful time. Just to give a little bit of context, I've just got a little slide here for you. Our mission in our church is connect, grow, reach. You might have heard that before. And this is kind of a very simple way that we understand what we're doing as a church and how we go about what we're doing as a church. So the first part that we encourage people to do when they come to faith is really make a solid connection with Jesus. So that's a connection of faith, believing in him. That's building a prayer life, learning how to pray, learning how to read the Bible. Getting baptized in water as a declaration of your faith. And then we encourage people to grow, and we grow together. We don't grow on our own. We don't grow in isolation. The Christian story or the Christian message of following Jesus is one of doing that as a community. We often read into the Bible a lot of individualism, but the Bible is not really written to individuals. It's written to communities of faith who come together, as we're doing this morning, to worship and follow God. And then the overflow of our personal relationship with Jesus, our growing together as a church community, is that we reach people with the good news about Jesus. And as we've spoken about over term three, this doesn't mean Bible bashing. This doesn't mean pointing out people's behavior that doesn't align with our Christian values. It's not about that. It's about building friendships. We really encourage and emphasize relational evangelism, where we build friendships and relationships with people and encourage them to understand the God that we believe in as a God of great love, who sent his son, Jesus Christ, and he is the answer to all of our problems. And in finding Jesus, we can live a life of meaning and purpose and of great hope. So that's what we've been focusing on. And if you haven't been around the last couple of months, we actually spent all of term three right across the church talking about how to just share your faith and how to just explain your faith to somebody that might not know. So you may not be aware of this, but not only do we have a bit of a speaking series in here, the kids' church, which I've said to you many times, is just as important as adult church every Sunday. There's about 50 people out the back every Sunday in kids' church and leaders and everything. And they have also been focusing on teaching the children how to just share about Jesus with their friends. The youth group as well, so our Friday night teenagers that meet, they have also been doing a series looking at how to reach. And I've heard from the youth group that they've had a lot of kids bring along friends for the first time as well, and already fruit of just learning as a teenager how to share your faith in Jesus, which I tell my children, you're going to be the odd one out in this day and age. You're not going to know many people who are following Jesus. You're not going to have many friends that go to church. And that's part of being a Christian in secular Australia, is that you're going to be the odd one out. And that's the awesome part of being a Christian. You're radical, you're different, you have something to offer. And so already the teenagers are getting that in our youth group as well. And then in our life groups, which is our small groups who meet during the week, we've been doing this course called the Ripple Effect. And if you haven't caught on to it yet, the ripple is a metaphor. When you throw a rock in a pond or something like that, it will ripple. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about this morning, is that metaphor of sharing your faith, following Jesus, can ripple and multiply and affect other people. So these guys are a real life example and story of that. And I've been excited for months. Blake was reminding me, we spoke about this when we were in Turkey a couple of months ago. For months, I'm like, I've got to get you guys up to share, because this is just a great example of how this ripple effect, this multiplying effect, happens when people share their faith. So we're going to hear about that today. And what you're going to hear is messy, because sharing your faith and telling someone else that you believe in Jesus is not straightforward. It's relational, so it's not institutional or organized. We don't organize sharing faith. We do it through relationships. We do it over food. We do it as we're going to work. We do it with friends. It's not something that we do as a program or that we administrate. And therefore, it's a bit messy, isn't it? It's kind of all over the place, and people have got funny questions about God, and things they've got to unlearn, and it's you know, they're up and down, and they do it really wrong at the start, which Blake will share all the wrong things he did with us. And you do all this stuff, but it's this messy, great journey of coming to God and then learning to follow God and understand who he is. So I'm really excited. Why don't we give these three a round of applause? Very courageous being up here. So I've got Denzel Wilsk, who's been in the church here for a long time, since she was a kid. Blake and Sarah have been here for about a year, or mainly this year, really. And you've been on the stage so many times. February, and then Sarah later, which is amazing. And both Blake and Sarah are in our internship this year, which is where you can come in and learn to pray and do Bible study and go a lot deeper in God. And they'll share a little bit about that as well. But let's hear this amazing story of what God did. So we'll start with Denzel. Just for yourself, Denzel, when did you first realize that sharing your faith was important and something that you wanted to do?
It's a good question. I definitely think I always intrinsically knew it was an important part of being a Christian, sharing your faith, sharing your your faith in that aspect. And I don't really remember it being taught to me at a young age, but I do remember in like primary school, grade one, grade two, prep even, just like talking about God and like having no filter, being pretty preachy about it probably, and definitely annoying all the other kids and teachers and stuff. But I think I always knew it was very important to do that, especially just having friends and always going to a public school, none of my friends being Christian, always wanting to one day see like my best friends at school come with me to church. And it's definitely always been on my heart. Definitely sometimes I might have shied away a lot more and been shut down a lot, and it definitely be in places of discouragement where you're like, oh, maybe no one really cares about this, no one wants to hear about this message or want to hear about my faith, or they don't need God for some reason, they're having fun.
Yep.
But definitely challenging like these last year or so to really, you know, put my faith out there and really understand these people in my life, they need Jesus. Even if they don't look like they need Jesus, they definitely need Jesus. And do the best I can to...
And you're not, I mean, anyone who knows you, you're not the most outspoken, outgoing person.
Yeah.
And he's struggling to swipe his phone today as well. So if you need me to swipe that up for your notes, I can. He nearly cut his finger off. When was that, yesterday or?
Oh, it happened Wednesday. I had surgery on Friday.
Oh, you had surgery? Oh my goodness. What a week. I didn't know about that till this morning. What a man. Now, you're not the most outgoing person, but you don't need to be outgoing to share your faith. So how do you share your faith as somebody that's not a big talker and not someone... You're definitely very respectful of other people and you don't want to push things on them. So how do you go about... What's your mindset or why do you value kind of sharing your faith? Where does that come from?
Definitely, I think most of it just comes from sharing my life. I think trying to be authentic. Like people will ask, oh, what are you doing on a Friday night? And I'm on the youth team. Oh, I'm going to youth. I'm serving my church. Or on Sunday, I was at church. And just like sharing how I live my life, like me being a young man, like surrounded by other young men at work or at school or in basketball, a lot of people will ask, oh, like, you know, who are you sleeping with? Or those kind of questions. And me just being honest, like, no, I'm saving myself to a marriage and just explaining those kind of key aspects of the way I live my life and why I live the way I live. And that always leads on to more questions. And just me being authentic, being myself, always leads to those discussions.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. I love that. And I think that's one of the best ways to actually share your faith, is just to be honest about it. Yeah, I go to church and I said to a few mates I was hanging out with last night, I've got to head home because I've got to get some sleep. I've got church in the morning and just that's who I am. And I have a faith and that dictates a lot of my behaviour. I think you do that really well, Denzel. So tell us about this, because Denzel and Blake were mates a long time before Blake became a Christian. How did the reaching out to Blake kind of happen? And was there anything unique about that friendship? Or how did that kind of come together, start talking about God?
Yeah, it's interesting going down memory lane. I think, me and Blake met through a mutual friend who I was, you know, best friends with high school, and I always wanted him to, you know, meet Jesus and become a Christian. But I think one of the first times me and Blake met, we're in a car drive, we're working together. It was the first time I was working with these guys. And somehow we got onto the topic of faith and Christianity, and Blake was asking me, like, straight away so many questions about it, like... you know, why are you a Christian? Why do you live the way you do? And yeah, I think from then on, it just sparked lots of conversations afterwards.
What do you think? What do you think you did well when Blake was battering you? Because I get battered with questions by Blake now, so I understand. What do you think you did well when you started getting that barrage of questions?
What did I do well?
What do you think he did well?
Just being there. I think just constantly just like...
Microphone, buddy. Is it on?
Is it on? There we go.
Part of becoming a Christian is learning to hold a microphone. So
that's
it's something you never do before, and then you meet God and all of a sudden you get a microphone.
The thing that Dan's did well, I think he just was there, I think, mainly. Just constantly... just available to be able to ask questions. Like, it wasn't anything flashy. He wasn't setting up things for me to read or anything like that, but just like, yeah, bombarding with questions and always being able to answer them.
Yeah.
And it was messy. Like, I was asking the most random questions, usually things that aren't even important, but trying to just make some sort of concise body of understanding happen. Just him being there, he was sort of the only one. Like, I would just be in my secret place on YouTube trying to learn about it. And then Dan was the only one who was actually sort of in the flesh, in person, I could talk to.
Great. And so isn't that what we've been talking about the last couple of months? Like, just at least be there. Yeah. At least be available. At least have a connection with someone. They know you're a follower of Jesus. And when the time's right, you're probably going to get some questions. And then just be there to field a few questions or help along the way. And because you didn't have any... Christian background at all, did you? You didn't grow up going to church or anything. Tell us a bit about your kind of pre-meeting Jesus kind of life. What was that like?
Yeah, so similar to that thing you said last week about pantheism, how you say it?
Yeah.
I was reflecting on the question and I was thinking it was very similar to that. Like, there's not a particular God, but there is just God. It's just like an energy and it sort of is in everything. Like, the I'm as equally God as the carpet sort of thing. Like, everything's just very vague and, you know, it's all energy and just very misleading, very confusing. And I was sort of just, I knew that there was some sort of spiritual world happening on earth, like an invisible world happening, but just didn't know what it was exactly. So I would go towards tarot cards, astrology, and just my own intuition and just pick and choose whatever I like, sort of creating myself to be my own God, just living however I want, but using the spiritual world to form whatever I think's right at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And just very misleading, very confusing, and just setting me up to, just live on a weak foundation of confusion. And
the thing I like about when people get involved in New Age or spirituality is, the one thing I like is that it doesn't end up really solving your problems or giving you an answer, but it does kind of open you up to something.
Yeah.
That sometimes is the good side.
Yeah.
The downside, and we've spoken about this, is that if some of your friends are in the New Age or pantheism or Buddhism or any Eastern religions, the downside is that it's a very make your own religion up kind of religion.
Yeah.
It's like you can just choose whatever you want. It feels nice. You go here, you go there, and you don't have to anchor yourself to God or truth or anything like that.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, the downside is you're forever learning but never coming to the truth. Would you agree with that?
For sure. I think in this sort of time as well, culture, thinking of freedom as being open to everything, where when we have rules in Christianity, they're not rules to like limit you and stop you, but to protect you.
Yeah.
You know, the same way where if you want to get really healthy, you set up barriers so that you're not getting exposed to bad food and lack of exercise, lack of sleep, but they're there to actually free you and help you.
Yeah.
Much more.
Are you amazed that those words come out of your mouth, that it's actually good to have boundaries and God and some rules? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, because that's not prioritizing openness beforehand.
Yeah. Not good. So when did tell us about your, Blake's got a great story about when he really made a decision to follow Jesus. So tell us about that God encounter that really led you to go, you'd looked into it, you'd talked to Denzel, you'd done lots of YouTubing, and then you had a moment that it kind of all came together for you. Share that with us.
Yeah, that was crazy. So cool. God's story is awesome. But it was around Christmas 2022, I just started like more and more getting hungry for God, curious towards Christianity, going from all that openness to seeing it wasn't working. And just bit by bit, I'd get more and more curious. I'd be looking at debates with Christians and atheists on YouTube. And there was just like this hunger, like I wasn't interested in anything else, but it was all very secret. My friends were all very spiritual, so I didn't feel like I was a part of them as much anymore. So I'd just be at home. And then my car rides. My car rides, oh, that's way better. My car rides with Dan's.
He's still helping you out.
Yeah, exactly. I need guidance. I thought I didn't need a guidance, but I do. And but I would just bombard Dan's with questions. And then one night I was on a run. It was in April. And I think it was raining at night time. And I was running and I was just like listening to testimonies on YouTube. And I'm like, these people's hearts are being like just full of like God's peace and love and that relationship with Him. Like I want that feeling. I want to know what that is, that fullness they have. And I was running and I remember God put a sentence through my mind just saying, the only way through to the Father is through the Son.
Wow.
And I just, because at that
what
time.
What a truth bomb.
Yeah.
It's like the center of the gospel, isn't it? Like, yeah. Jesus is the way to God.
Yeah. Just like, just dropped it on me. And because I was mainly just interested in the Father. Like Jesus, at that time, it feels blasphemous to say it, but I thought he was just some lame sort of character a little
bit.
Didn't really understand.
Yeah, he's not, but yeah.
Yeah, he's not. No. But at the time, that's how I felt. I was like, I don't understand it at all, really.
So good.
I was just like, all right, just as an act of faith, genuinely in my heart, I'm going to just try and accept Jesus is God. And as soon as I just sort of gave it up and submitted, I just was like overwhelmed with God's love.
Wow.
And I just started breaking down, just weeping, like crying so profusely. Broke down to my knees.
Is this as you're running?
I stopped.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't just collapse. No, I stopped first. I was just thinking like, what is going on? And then I just like dropped to my knees on some grass. And just like was crying in the rain, such a moment, you know. And then I get back up and I'm running and I'm like, what is going on? And then I get home. Dan's just thrown in the very center of it all. I get home, I get on my phone. I'm like, Dan's, my life has just changed. I've had the most extreme and powerful thing that's ever happened to me. No, I've just found God. And he's like,
wow,
that's cool. That's cool, man. And like, just obviously didn't have the words to say because it's just like, God's good. Awesome. And
what were you thinking though, Denzel? Like, you didn't say much, but what were you thinking when Blake rang you and like, were you thinking this is it? This is the moment or?
Yeah, definitely. I thought, wow, this is like an amazing moment. It's awesome that like, again, because I knew I would never be able to convince someone to become a Christian. I could never persuade someone. No one can reasonably come to that conclusion to believe Jesus died and raised again. So for him to have that experience, that like physical or spiritual experience is like, I guess it felt the pressure off me and like, oh God, you've got it all. You've got it all under
control. I think it brings out a really good point. Like when if you're guiding someone or walking with someone who's on this faith journey, they have to come to a point at some time in that journey. They've got to come to a point where they have an encounter with God. That's really, really important. Now, it doesn't need to be like weeping in the rain as you're running and all that kind of stuff, although it may be that. And if you know Blake, that probably fits with his personality well. It's quite dramatic. He wouldn't have thought it was God if it was some mental aha moment. It had to be dramatic. But I think it's really important if people don't, because a lot of people come to faith and come towards God very mentally, very in the head. And that's fine. And that's fine. And sometimes having that profound God encounter can be a bit of a, I get it. It just clicks. I really believe. And that's fine as well. But sometimes there's a big heart thing with a lot of emotion and tears. And that's another way to encounter God. But whatever way, if it's a bit more head, if it's a bit more heart, if it's a bit more emotion, or it's a bit more mental, whatever it is, there needs to be a profound moment of I've met God face to face. And if you read the Bible, that's all the stories that we read in the Gospels. When people meet Jesus, it's quite profound. In the book of Acts, when it talks about the early church, there's lots of miracles and profound moments and things that happen. And I'm not in any way dissuading you if it hasn't been something dramatic. It doesn't need to have the emotion to be God, but it just needs to have the depths and that I've touched God. I've touched something supernatural. And I think that's really important. So if you're helping someone come to faith, prepare them for, look, there's probably going to be a moment where God just really comes in. Like, let him come in. Open your heart. Like it might be a bit radical or out of the norm, but let him come in and don't try and keep everything too controlled or too perfect, because eventually God's going to mess up your life in a good way. And that's a bit of a God encounter, which is really profound for you, wasn't it, Blake? So... And where Absolutely. Did you kind of, what was kind of the next step from there? After you rang Denzel, then what was the next step for you?
Yeah, well, it kept going. It was sort of three parts. And that night I had a dream. And in this dream, I went to this like gold exchange store. Usually it's online, but it was in a physical store. And I just said to the people running the store, like, I really want to know Jesus. Like, do you know him? I want a healing from him. And they told me to sit down on this long timber bench. And they put their hand on my forehead and told me, like, in the name of Jesus, we heal you. Like, he heals you. And then in that dream, it sort of like inception. It went to another dream. And everything just went pitch white for like 10 seconds. And it felt like I was on an operating table, like people putting those metal paddles on my body, like just like this energy that was getting put into me. And then I woke up from that back in the store and I'm just like sitting there like, whoa, like in the dream. And then I wake up in real life and my whole week is just so pure. Like my heart feels restored.
Yeah.
I feel so loving, so open, not protective of myself, but just like open and knowing that I'm secure and good. And then from there, that really, really began my hunger more and more. I wanted to get baptized like within the hour, but I'm like, no, I know what you're like, Blake. You're just like this extreme dude.
Yeah.
Jumps into things, like just make sure it's true and real.
Yeah.
So I would just think about like every day for 3 months or something.
That's so good.
And then got
baptized. And then you got baptized down in Frankston Beach.
Yeah, Frankston really Beach. Good. Yeah, it was like a stormy day. And then I went down and then as soon as I came up, the clouds parted and the sun went onto and I was like, yeah, crazy God story. It's so cool. Good. Yeah, really cool.
And you started coming along to church here earlier this year, which was incredible. And I know you got really impacted by God and that was a big thing. And then, so Blake's friends with Sarah, right, the whole time along. They've been friends for a few years, kind of dabbled in this new agey pantheism type thing in the same friendship group. And Sarah, you had actually grown up in church. And so you had a bit of a more of an understanding than Blake about Christianity. Tell us a bit about growing up in church and then you drifted away from God. What kind of happened there?
Yeah, I grew up going to church with my mum and I think I had a fairly solid faith for a child, but it never really grew past that. It got to a point as I was getting older and sort of becoming more aware of the world that I had all of these deep questions, I guess all the usual difficult questions, and I had no one to ask. I didn't think of going to my mum to ask. and so instead of finding answers, it just started to poke holes in my childhood faith. And then I went to uni. I went to an arts uni where there were all these like fabulous new ideas that I was like, oh, they're kind of answering all my questions. So I sort of latched onto that and onto this world of like academia. And then I moved to Ireland for a little while. And this whole time I was still searching for God, but I wasn't particularly searching for his heart and his identity and what he said about my identity. So I started to find him in like in nature, and I became much more interested in like connecting with nature and not so much in connecting with God's heart. And that answered questions to a point, but they obviously were a bit shaky.
And then you came, and then Blake became a Christian.
Yes.
And you were like, oh, I kind of know that from my childhood, and I kind of, oh, okay, interesting. And he started coming along to church here, and so what was your kind of reaction to that?
I was very suspicious to begin with all these other ideas that I'd sort of developed in my adulthood. I was watching Blake, and I thought I was seeing him turn into something that I really didn't trust, and I was very suspicious of. But sort of unexpectedly, all of the healing that was going on in his life really healed our friendship that was quite broken at the time. And that really caught me off guard. And then seeing him really grow in maturity and grow in faith, but really maintain his quirky individual stuff, gave me a lot of confidence that I could trust that God wasn't going to ask me to take away myself. And then I could just grow towards him and hold on to my individuality. And so watching Blake's journey gave me a lot of trust that I could perhaps try church again. But there was still a little bit of suspicion in that I'd misunderstood him talking about his first phase of immerse when he was talking about the boys. And I thought that he was saying that he went to an all-men's church. And I was like, that's so not okay.
It is a cult. It is a cult.
Yeah, I was like, has he joined a cult? And so around Easter time this year, I was like, I'll test him out and ask, oh, can I join you at church on Sunday, expecting him to say no. And he was like, yeah, boys only. And then he was like, yeah, of course, come. I was like, oh, okay. And so when I walked in the doors, everyone was so friendly, very normal, but also unusually friendly. And Liv especially was super friendly. Yeah. Thanks, Liv. But yeah, so that I was still a little bit suspicious after the first week. I was like, that was kind of normal. And they said all the same things that I learned growing up, but why was everyone so nice?
I remember you telling me part of coming to church was also to make sure that Blake wasn't in a
cult.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm going to pull him out of this cult.
And it wasn't something weird. Yeah, you were kind of coming to check it out as a protective friend as well. Yeah. And then so what happened on the second week?
Well, yeah, so I came back the second week and I was like, oh, that friendly girl, Liv, maybe I could be friends with her. And you were preaching on the crucifixion and you were preaching quite...
Oh, it was Easter.
It was Easter time.
It was Easter Sunday, wasn't it?
It was just, I think, the week before Easter Sunday, perhaps. Okay. Yeah. And you painted quite a gruesome picture, which really affected me deeply, I guess, as a dancer and thinking about the body and stuff. Mm. And even though it was such a familiar story, it felt like the first time in my life that I'd actually heard it and that it really landed in my heart and it just affected me so much. I was crying like the whole service, and Blake was like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? And then afterwards, Caleb, you prayed over me and you were saying all these things that you as a stranger couldn't possibly have known about me, and I knew that it was God like talking to me and making these beautiful promises to me and calling me back to him and not calling me back to religion and promising that he was going to heal my heart in a really safe way. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, okay, cool. I'm coming every week. I've just dived straight back in.
And then you have.
I have.
I've barely missed a Sunday since that one. Isn't that
basically
amazing?
Except for when I was overseas. Yeah.
Isn't that incredible? Isn't that an amazing story? Let's give God a clap.
Yeah, that is amazing.
And that's just another great example, Sarah. Thank you so much for sharing. Because it's just another great example of a little God encounter there. You know, Blake's happened running, not in the church. Sarah happened in the church, which is probably interesting, isn't it, that God would bring you back to church where you grew up as a child and that you would meet him again there, but in a very different adult, much more mature way, which is fantastic. But again, you need a touch from God. There has to be a moment where Blake and Sarah actually open their heart up a bit to God and he came in. And it often is a bit ugly, like there's tears and snot and there's kind of letting things go and healing and all this stuff that goes on. But I think the great thing that Denzel and others like Olivia, you said, have helped you is they've encouraged them that that's okay and keep your heart open and let God in. And, you know, I think the really good thing as well is that the kicker here or the key is that you ended up in community. Like this wouldn't have been, and you've both said this to me individually, this wouldn't have been possible if it had just stayed on YouTube videos for Blake or just stayed on Sarah off on her own in nature trying to work some things out with God. Like eventually there's got to be a life group, a Sunday morning, a coffee with Denzel, something where you actually come in a community and relationship, you know, to kind of work things out together. So, and then both of you have stepped into this internship we've got, and Blake, you were telling me, let's just cut to the prayer bit, because part of the internship is praying for 6 hours a week as a minimum in the prayer room just behind the church wing here. So 6 hours a week. You've been in the second phase now, so there's phase one is 16 weeks, then phase two is another 16 weeks, so Blake's gone on. I don't know if you go to phase three, we'll see, but we'll see. And part of it is praying, so spending a lot of time learning to pray in the prayer room, different ways of praying to really deepen your faith. Tell us about the prayer and tell us about what God spoke to you with the Bible study with your mates out of the prayer.
Yeah, so that was definitely really pressing and stretching on me doing 6 hours of prayer. Like it would be hard to do 15 minutes a day for a while. And so staying in that sort of structure and knowing that Caleb was going to be watching me, I was like, all right, I have to do it in a good way. And just knowing that it created an accountability. And I think that the course itself, if it was just off my own will, it would have just sort of fallen apart. And at the time, I thought I was just someone who could just have a structure, stick to it with no one telling me. I wanted to do everything lone wolf-like, but it just doesn't work. Now, I know that it could admit that it doesn't work. So having that structure there was so crucial for me to mature in faith. And I think through the prayer particularly, just kept on deepening the personal relationship with God rather than it just be a theology or like just trying to understand, but really having my own personal depths, like breaking barriers, going deeper. And every time I opened my heart to him, he would always meet me there and it would be rewarded in terms of being able to trust it, and it would reconcile more and more. Whether if you know, people have maybe had experiences where they open their heart to people and we just don't have the character or capacity to honor that with such a beauty. And but with God, he will always be able to be that steady character who can always feel safe the deeper you go. So
can I ask you a question? Do you think you would still be in the church or maybe even following God if you didn't have that kind of internship, accountability, teaching on how to pray and these kind of things?
I'm not sure. Probably not. I don't think. I think it was so crucial, especially when I was going through back my questions. Just it's so necessary to have a structure and an accountability to continuously go deep into prayer and to push into God more and more, and really in not a performative manner either. Just like just run to him, tell him everything. He already knows it, so really you're just lying to yourself. But yeah, I think just continuously pressing into God in prayer, and particularly when I came back from Egypt and Turkey, being with the pastors and the missionary people over there, came back just like on fire, just like I want to just like sleep in there, I want to live in that room and just like constantly be in prayer, seeing so that it's good. Like just the number one pillar for many things.
That's great. Yeah. And what came out of prayer with reaching, so this is where the ripple goes on. In prayer, God gave you a bit of a word to start reaching, even though you've only been a Christian a short time, to reach out to some of your mates. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so it was in the first season of Immerse. I was in the prayer room and I was just picturing, it was like a vision of me sitting at a round white table with my one friend Liam. And we were reading
Who's
the Bible
today?
Together.
He's here today. Shout out to Liam. Shout out to Liam.
And yeah, super cool. Just like a vision of me sitting there with him, reading the Bible, teaching the Bible. And wow. I only just knew like a little bit. I didn't really know much. I just knew that I was passionate. And I was like, I just got to share this, you know. And then I asked him, like, would you be keen on learning about it? And he's like, yeah, that sounds good. But he didn't really care that much. He's just like, I want to hear you talk about something you're excited about. That's good.
Yeah.
And then it was just going to be with me and him. And then I just was thinking about, I had two other people come into my heart to do it from God, and that was Ethan, who's here also.
Woo!
and then my other friend Cooper as well, and it was all three of us. And I said to him, like, look, there's just like this amazing transformation in my life, and I just, it would be wrong for me to like not share it, you know. It was just like, that would be so wrong. And so set up a Bible study. It was really just guys coming together, having a barbecue, chatting about life, and then I was going to share the gospel and try and teach the Bible. And it was just so messy at the start. It was so funny, reflecting on it. But just constantly just showing up and trying to teach it. It would go from us talking about things and quite boyish things and really just being excited to eat meat and talk and hang out, really.
That's good.
And then I would be like trying to rein it back. I'm like, okay. So from that, let's talk about Jesus. And just like a bit of a fumble and stumble. And I'm pretty sure the first one was just me and Liam. And then the second one round where Ethan and Cooper were there too, I think I opened it up by talking about hell. So really not quite the best way to do it. But I knew their personalities. I knew they'd be interested in it. I don't know. It's been working.
I think it's just such a great example, Blake, because I think for some of us that have been around in church for a while, and you might agree with this, like part of the problem is we end up knowing too much that we don't do anything. And our knowledge, which Christianity is not about gaining knowledge. You know, we think that learning techniques and knowledge and going to conferences is the way to help people, but it's not. It's exactly what you did. And you are blessed to not be weighed down with too much information, so to speak, and you can just go and actually share the core stuff about Jesus, and your friends have been impacted. I understand that Liam's come to faith.
Yes.
And got baptized.
Got baptized yesterday.
Yesterday. Yeah. Well done. Give him a round of applause.
Really excited.
Yeah. So good.
And just more and more, all the boys are seeing it, and they're having their own personal development with God as well. Just
amazing.
Because I think that was so strong for me with my own personal relationship. just trying to push them towards that.
So
well.
Good.
Yeah.
And what about you, Sarah? That Sarah came on the trip to Egypt and Turkey with us, which was amazing. And then you really felt to kick on and go and visit a friend in Germany who wasn't a Christian, had some questions, and tell us a bit about what God put on your heart there.
Yeah, it's a crazy and huge story that I'll try to be concise with. I wasn't going, the trip to Egypt wasn't on my mind at all. A week out from the trip, I was planning uni, getting all of my uni stuff sorted. And then 6 days out, I was reading, doing some of the readings for Immerse. It was only like week two of Immerse or something. And I was a bit stressed about how to fit the time of Immerse and uni together, which is a big thing that God has helped me with, because 6 days out, he said, go to Egypt. And I said, that's crazy. And then there were 6 days of me thinking I was going insane, but God really, truly was sending me to Egypt. So I deferred uni, so that solved my time problem with Immerse. I didn't know what to expect, but he really used my time in Turkey and Egypt to really consolidate this foundation that he had been building in me since Easter, and just, yeah, like multiplied my spiritual maturity and like my inner strength, because yeah, he was calling me to then go on to Germany for a week after this, and he really trained me up in these two other countries to be able to go and spend time with one of my best friends who lives in Germany, who has always enjoyed talking to me about my faith. And it was perfect timing to go over there. His mum was really, really unwell. And so to be able to just be present in his life and with her as well and his brother, just being there around the house, supporting them in really simple ways and just getting to chat casually and comfortably about my faith and where my strength comes from, and the light that I experience in my life now that I know he could really see, and
so
to be able
good.
To
it's really good.
Pray with him. And I felt really called to pray over his mum as well, which I was so nervous about. I spent a long time arguing
when
with
we're
God.
When we were in Egypt and Turkey, Sarah was building up for the whole 2 weeks.
Yeah, for like
you?
The whole 2 weeks. I was
like,
Caleb, what do I do?
The whole trip was
oh
preparing you to step out in this kind of radical, courageous step to pray for your unsaved friend and the mum. It was cancer she had?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she, to pray. And so it was amazing, that process of God working in you to actually be willing to step out, which you did.
Yeah, yeah. I, like before that trip, there's not a chance, I mean, it was impossible that I was going to be in Germany anyway, but there's not a chance I would have had the courage or the spiritual understanding for how to approach her. And I mean, she doesn't speak any English. I hardly speak any German. So
yeah.
To be able to ask her if I can pray for her and with my friend translating, it was really special. And the timing was extraordinarily beautiful and painful, because it really opened, when I came back to Melbourne, it opened the door for me to keep texting her. And every time I'd come into the prayer room here or my prayer room at home, I'd text her and say, you know, I'm going into my prayer room, like, can I pray for you? She'd send me something to pray about. And then I think it was two Thursdays ago, I came across this psalm, and I'd never sent her any scripture before, but God really put it on my heart that, no, like, you've got to send this psalm to her right now. And I sent it to her.
And she's not a Christian or anything?
Not as far as I am aware,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
And I know she was reading a Christian book, but I don't, yeah, no. And so I shared this passage with her, and she was really grateful for it. And then 2 days after that, she died. And I, like, yeah, that's obviously difficult and painful, but I have great confidence that God sent me at that exact time a few weeks before to speak into her life in this way, and I know that it brought her great comfort and peace. She would talk to
it's
me
amazing.
About that.
It's amazing.
So yeah, it's pretty
thank you for sharing that.
Overwhelming how
yeah.
God works. Yeah.
But again, it's just so many great points to riff on today. Just another one, like just the importance of praying for people, but even reaching out to people, because you just don't know how long people have. You don't know where her heart's at before God, and then she's dying of cancer and now she's gone, which is really, really sad. But incredible, you've come to God because of Blake, thinking he's in a cult, doing this internship, which opened up the opportunity to go to Egypt. You put aside uni and went to Egypt. That opened up, oh, I could go to Germany and pray for my friend's mum who's dying of cancer. You did that. It's done something in her heart. We don't know before God what has happened exactly in her heart, and now she's gone, and we just trust that she is with the Lord and that she did have a faith there that helped, and maybe you've played a role and helped in that. It's just incredible. So why don't we give these three a round of applause? You guys have just shared so well today. I want to finish off this morning just with a little bit of prayer and give you guys the opportunity to pray. So prayer for people that aren't believers, or prayer for our friends and family where there may be an openness to God or people have questions. These kind of prayers are radical prayers. These are radical prayers. To believe that somebody might find God. I mean, let's take a step back for a moment. Like that a human being might make a personal connection with the creator of the universe. And they could come from a New Agey, pantheistic kind of point of view. Blake was just trying to work it out. Or Sarah, he drifted away from God and then you return to faith. Or you know, a Denzel reaching out to friends and you've grown up in church and you could easily just be focused on church and not be focused outside of church and on other people. Whatever the circumstance is, if you reach out and pray for people, God is going to do things. And I've said this a few times over the last couple of months. If you don't pray for people, and don't pray for your friends and family, God will also honor those prayers. You know, God won't use you to reach your family and friends if you don't want to be involved. But he will find another way, because God is desperate to bring everyone into relationship with him.